What a great day, man. I wish you guys could see what I'm seeing up here. This is beautiful. Great to see all of your faces. And if you're joining us online today, we appreciate you guys and wish you could be here with us, but we're glad that you're watching it online. We hope that you'll enjoy the service as we are here in person. Hey, first things first, if you are a first-time guest with us today, would you please go out to the table out in front and be the first thing you hit when you go out the doors and fill out one of these communication cards? We're just asking for your name and phone number and social security number and, no, not that, just your email and your phone number. We just want to stay in touch with you. So if you would fill one of these out, at the table out there, they have a nice goodie bag like this. And I haven't seen what's inside there, but I think I see Raider tickets, but I'm not sure what those are, but... We have a nice gift for you. We just want to show our appreciation for you for being here today. All right, here's some announcements for you. November 20th, put this on your calendar because we're going to be doing kind of the same things that we're doing today. We're going to have a combined service. It'll start at 10 o'clock because we're going to have our Meet the Leaders event where we get together with some of the newer folks that are new to CrossPoint, and we're going to give you an orientation and tell you about all of our stuff and our ministry plan. And so make plans for that. November 20th, we'll start at 10 o'clock again, and we'll have our next steps after that. Hey, yesterday, if you didn't get to join us, it was a great celebration of LV's life and Leventris Farrow. We call her LV. And just a beautiful display of love by especially her son, Jason, and lots of other people. And I just want to thank the people that made all of that happen. I know that Jason's grateful for all the family members that helped out, especially Leanne and her crew that did all of the food and set up and everything. But it was a great tribute to LV and her life and what she meant to all of us. All right. This is November. Welcome to November. And that means that this is the final month of our growth group sessions, okay? So if you're not in a growth group, you guys really need to consider being in a growth group starting in January. But those of us that are in groups now, we're finishing up this month, and so we want to finish strong, okay? So I just want to encourage you to be at all of your meetings coming up, because come Thanksgiving, we're going to be finished, and we're going to take a break in December and enjoy the Christmas holidays. And also, there's going to be a men's group that's going to be starting up on Friday nights at 7 o'clock right here at the building. So that's going to start this coming week, I believe, Lance?
Yes.
Yeah, starting this coming Friday. Meet right here in the building on this side, that side?
This
side over here. Just meet in the foyer out there, and we'll gather you out up there. Also, we know that there are many prayer needs in our congregation this size, and we want to be sensitive to that, and we want to also give you an opportunity to pray for you today. So if you have a need that we can be praying for you, would you just come up to the front here, and you'll meet some people, and we'd be happy to lead a prayer for you and ask God to intervene in your life and to meet whatever needs that you might have. So, this is our anniversary celebration. CrossPoint started actually on November 2nd, 8 years ago. So November 2nd was Wednesday, but none of you guys were here. So we had to get more carne asada for this group. But we're celebrating our anniversary today, and it's going to be a great day of celebration, I know. And you might have noticed as you walked in today that there was a big table of t-shirts out there. Those are CrossPoint t-shirts, and those are a big hit with our congregation. So if you would like one of those, they're going to be $10 this year, and you can just pay when you grab your size out there. And there's all sizes from small to extra triple X out there, so we can take care of everybody. And all of the proceeds from the sales of those t-shirts are going to go to help fund our youth group activities. Okay, so it's all going to a good work. So buy a shirt, wear it proudly, and know that you are helping out the youth group and all the activities that they have. Also, there's going to be a bake sale going on out there. If you want dessert today, you need to go to the youth group booth, and they'll be happy to give you some special treats. And again, all of the proceeds for that will go to benefit our youth group activities. All right, if you didn't receive a communion cup when you came in today, would you please raise your hand, and Jason will come around and give you one of those. There's probably lots of people out there, Jason. So thank you. Raise your hand up high so he can see you, and he'll come around and get you a communion cup. All right, Tony?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tony. I'm one of the elders here along with Keith. You're going to meet a couple more elders in a minute here. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here. We're very honored to have you with us. If it's your second morning, your third morning with us, welcome. If it's your eighth year with us, welcome back. And anything in between, welcome to this morning. Our ushers are passing out these communion cups. If it's your first time, you're saying, well, what is this? When do I, is this part of the barbecue? And it's not. We're going to do communion right now. And you'll notice that the communion cup has two parts to it. The top part has the bread, which I'll talk about in a second. And the bottom part has the juice, which, of course, I'll talk about in a second. So just hang on to that. Keep it handy. Don't let the kids play with it. We're gonna come right back to this in a second. This morning, I want to share with you guys something that was really impactful to me this week is Exodus chapter 15. You're saying, wait a minute, we're doing communion. Why are you going to Exodus? And I promise you, I'm not the one preaching. We got someone better for you for that. But what I'd like to do is read to you guys Exodus chapter 15. And it's a wonderful story. And it's about Moses. And keep in mind that at this time, God's chosen people were wandering through the desert, and they were hungry and they were thirsty, and they came across the Red Sea, and they were very thirsty. So let me read to you, and it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and when they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Meriah, they could not drink the waters of Meriah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it is called Meriah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. What a perfect vision and illustration, if you will, of our life before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ, our life is bitter. It's not palatable. It's filled with hurt and pain and sorrow. And our life after Christ is sweet and fulfilling. It was a tree that the Romans used to cut down and carve in the form of a cross that our Lord was hung upon. And it's that cross and that crucifixion of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that gives us the ability to gather this morning and enjoy communion together. So if you would, please, could you open the top portion and take out the little wafer? The wafer represents the body, which the Lord laid down happily for us, so that through his death, we may have life. We can take it now. And as you peel the bottom portion, the juice represents his blood, which was shed on the cross for us. That perfect sinless blood, that if he's your Lord and Savior, he's washed away your impurities, washed away your sins, and because of that, you can have communion this morning with the Father. All right, we have a special video for you guys. You didn't know this was happening. Go ahead, Sophie.
Hey, Pastor, thanks for seeing me. This is so great. I have been wanting to talk to you for quite a while, and to be right here with you right now is awesome.
Does it look like I have an appointment? being the children's minister. First, the good news, because who doesn't like good news?
Listen, I've been looking at the numbers, and we are hurting, all right? We are bleeding with a capital B, okay?
I don't even want to talk to me, but being the youth minister, I'm really busy, okay? I'm doing a lot of stuff.
But as building superintendent of this here church, I got a problem.
Singles ministry, it ain't working. No one's coming. You know it, and I know it.
There's only one thing I think this church is missing. Snakes.
I just really need to confess to you, my pastor, that the Ten Commandments, I've done all of them. Okay, I've committed all of them, okay? Except murder.
I am the chairman of the deacons of this church.
This weekend we're doing a junior high lock-in. That is a great concept, isn't it? I mean, whoever thought of that? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
What if we rent out the left side of our auditorium to that new hipster church, huh?
Here's my letter of resignation. I'm going back to work at Starbucks because they give benefits.
The good news is, with VBS, we had so many kids involved and 17 kids came to know the Lord.
Yay! I was here long before you got here.
The bad news is we've lost one of them, Timmy.
And I'll be here long after you're gone.
I need you to have my back, okay? I need you to have my back because, I mean, the seniors, they are on me. Not my senior high class, but the senior citizens, they do not like me.
We're not using it. You're not going to fill it up with your messages. And here's the simple truth. That could help us out. What do you say? Hip, hip, hipster away?
About we let Carl here loose on some of our congregants. See who's without sin and who's not, huh?
I'm sure this happens a lot in churches, doesn't it? No? Okay, no.
And by the way, I can't get that smell out of the band.
So just have my back, okay? I'm really, really trying. I got a lot on my plate. Do you see that? God has been talking to me really big time. And I think he wants me to preach.
Adios, muchacho.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. Carl's out.
No hard feelings? Don't mind if I do. Thank you, sir. Is that cigarettes?
You need to get right with the Lord or get out of here, because that snake's poisonous. I'm not kidding! Carl!
If we get those lights back, there we go. I'm pretty sure that Mike has faced just about every single one of those. Maybe not the snakes, but just about everything else Mike can probably identify. Mike and Shelley, would you come on up here for a minute? And family. Come on up, kids. Sal Senior, you come on up here too. We need you up here. So I mentioned earlier that this is November. Last month was October, and some of you may know that the month of October is widely recognized as Pastor Appreciation Month. And we were chomping on the bit to appreciate our pastor, but we thought it would be best to wait until today when we have a huge crowd so that we could honor Mike and Chella and everything that they do for us. And come on up here, everybody. Look at that. I think you're missing one, Mike. He's probably busy serving somewhere, yeah. Hey, Chella, first of all, you, okay, because we know that nothing happens with Mike without your support, your love and encouragement, and we just want to thank you so much for what you do for the church family and especially what you do for your family, and we're thankful that you allow us to have Mike as our pastor. So we have a little gift for you, a little token of our appreciation. And Mike, I don't know if you noticed, but we have some graphics up here. We took a poll of some of the members in our church, just things that they appreciate you. And so we're scrolling through all of the things that they said. And Monique has put all of those on some really nice frames that have everything that's being shown up on the screen. Because we just want you to know how much we love you and appreciate you. And I also want you to know that on one of those, I think there's three frames. And Charlie, you can hang those wherever you want, all right? I mean, if you want to put them in the laundry room, that's fine. But because it's all, we don't want Mike to get a big head. But on one of those, Mike, one of the things that somebody appreciated you for, or what they said about you, was that Mike is the goat. And this came from one of our newer family members, okay? Said Mike is the goat. And I didn't want Mike to misinterpret that and think that we were talking about the Matthew 25 sheep and the goats, you know, where the sheep are the good guys, the goats are the bad guys. No, goat is an acronym for greatest of all time, all right? And the same person, one of our newer family members, said, in addition to the goat comment, he said, well, there it is right there. Thank you, God, for choosing Pastor Mike to lead our church. And I think that that person speaks for all of us, Mike. And I came across a message that was on the internet. I'm sure that the author doesn't know anything about Mike, and so it's not necessarily about him. But let me just read this to you. It says, "You are my pastor. You spend hours each week preparing a message for me. You are faithful each week, even if life has been tough for you. You are my pastor. You told me about a Savior named Jesus. I accepted him, and my life has been changed forever. You are my pastor. I woke you up at 1 a.m. to tell you my son was in a terrible car accident. You were sitting next to me in the hospital within an hour. You are my pastor. You were there for me when my marriage was on the rocks. I never thank you for the hours that you spent with both of us. You are my pastor. I asked you to pray for me, and you did. I got a glimpse of your prayer list with so many names on it. You are my pastor. I criticized you for something you did not deserve. I realized I was one of the many criticisms that you get every month. You are my pastor. I saw the hours you invested in that family. They ended up leaving the church because they weren't getting fed. You are my pastor. I see the exhaustion on your face regularly. You're trying to meet the needs of your own family and your church family. You are my pastor. You recently preached at a funeral of one of your close friends. I saw the tears you tried to hide as you ministered to the family. You are my pastor. I'm amazed at how you love the members of our church. You will laugh with a child. You will hug a senior saint without a second thought. You are my pastor. This week, you took a new family in town to lunch. You love reaching people outside the walls of our church. You are my pastor. You could have taken another line of work with higher pay and shorter hours, but you decided to answer a calling rather than accept a job. You are my pastor. I rarely say thank you or tell you how much I appreciate you, but I do. I really do love you and appreciate you. You are my pastor, and I thank God that you are." And as I read this for the first time, I couldn't read it without thinking about Mike. And I started to like well up some water, something built up in my eyes. I'm not sure what that was. It's never happened before. But I realized that this is exactly who Mike is. And we are so fortunate and so thankful to God that he has chosen this line of work, that he's chosen ministry. And he ministers to each and every one of us. And I know that you guys all love and appreciate him. Would you just show your appreciation now? Thank you. And I just want to say one more thing. This is going to be our Pastor Appreciation Day, okay? May not happen for another year, but that doesn't mean that we stop appreciating Mike and his family, okay? We need, as you can see, pastors from the video we showed, pastors get beat up a lot. It was funny, but it was kind of true at the same time. You know, we can all kind of relate to those kinds of experiences. So I just want to encourage you, church family, let's make every day Pastor Appreciation Day, okay? And we see Mike and his family. Let's let them know how much we love them.
I promise you I'm not going to preach. I was asked to pray for Mike as part of my role here. I'm certainly honored to do so. But before I do so, I want to share a verse with you guys, and technology is not good today. There it goes. So I want to share with you guys 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, I believe it is. And it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And I know Mike knows this, but this is an encouragement to the family, because oftentimes, as a pastor, he's sharing his life with all of us. And oftentimes, his family is not at home because he's serving everywhere else. So an encouragement to the family, to him and to the family, that in light of it, therefore, because of this, and if you read the entire chapter, it's really talking in the beginning about God's plan of salvation. It's talking about the resurrection. It's talking about the, this truth that God has for us, right? That because he resurrected, we will also resurrect. And that whole chapter speaks about the whole plan of salvation and the resurrection. And the very last verse says, "Therefore, or because of this truth, because of this sacrifice that the Lord did, be steadfast, stay the course, be immovable, and always excel in the Lord's work." And that's certainly a calling that Mike has proven to do so. And I just want to encourage the family to continue to be steadfast. And continue to support Mike. And with that, I will pray. So I think that if we all gather around the family, it would probably be better to gather around the entire family. And if you guys would pray with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, to thank you. To thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness, Father. Thank you for Mike and his family, and for the commitment that he has to serving you, Father, for the love he has for you. And for the love he has for this congregation, Father. We thank Chela and the children for sharing them with us and for allowing them to be able to do the work that you have called them to do, Lord. And we ask that as he continues his task, Father, that you have laid for him, that you continue to strengthen him, that you continue to develop him, that you continue to give him all of the necessary tools, Father, that he needs to continue to lead us, Father, and direct us, and continue to serve you, Father, and that through his work, you would be glorified, and that more people would come to know you, your Son, as their Savior, Father. We put them in your hands, Father, and ask for your blessing upon them for the rest of this day and for the days to come, Father. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'll just say that I get to do this. I get to share God's word with you. I get to pastor here at Cross Point. And for me, it's a privilege, it's an honor, and it's something that I'm grateful to the Lord for it. So the fact that he has me here, that he has us here together, it's so encouraging to me. So I thank all of you. I'm grateful that you're part of Cross Point, and I just am excited to see what the Lord will continue to have for us. Not just today's lunch, but beyond that, seeing a lot of you that maybe I haven't seen in a while, or even just seeing the two groups together and having this place fill up like this and singing together is a big blessing. I'm encouraged by that, and so we will continue to have our messages here on Luke chapter 10. Today we're going to finish chapter 10 by looking at a very interesting story. I'll just mention again, let me quickly say something in Spanish. Para las personas que están aquí, primero bienvenidos, claro, pero también si ocupan traducción en español, tenemos traducción, pero si ocupan los audífonos, levante la mano y le podemos proveer unos audífonos. That's for the Spanish speakers if they need a headset for the translation. Okay. So this morning, I want to get into this message because if not, I have lots of announcements and lots of things to say, and I don't want to take from that. So this morning, I have a message that I want to share with you. It's called Choose Wisely. And at first, when we thought, you know, we're going to have a combined service, there was a little temptation to say maybe go outside of our norm of going through Luke chapter 10. And then I looked at the portion that most likely was going to land on today. And it's a story that Luke narrates. There's a lot of characters in that story, and every story is about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the star of every story. But in this story, in Luke 10, verses 38 through 41, we see a woman named Martha. And really, I want you to think about the fact that this story is really about Martha. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We're going to see her sister, Mary. This is the same Martha and Mary who had a brother named Lazarus, but he's actually not even going to be mentioned here. You see him more in John 11 and 12. So it's really about Martha. All right, so as I read the portion in Luke 10, 30 through 41, keep in mind Martha. The main point this morning is going to be that God is glorified as we wisely choose to sit at his feet to hear his voice. God is glorified when we choose to sit at Christ's feet in order that we would hear his voice. And Martha had a difficulty with that. And I thought, you know, we're going to have the two groups. Chances are maybe people that don't normally come might be here. And so I thought, what's an appropriate message? And I thought, for our time, and I think for most of us, finding it difficult to sit at Christ's feet to hear his voice is something that we all find difficult to do. And so I thought it would be a very appropriate message. So choose wisely, Luke 10, 38 through 41. The main point is God is glorified as we wisely choose to sit at his feet to hear his voice. And the message is going to sound maybe a little negative in the sense that Martha is our example here, but she's actually a bad example. She's an example of what not to do. And so the message is going to feel a little, you know, on the negative side, but at the end, we're going to finish off with some great news for all of us. So would you read with me Luke 10, 38 through 42? Listen to this story. It says, "Now it happened, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his voice. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Let me pray. Father in heaven, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I'm grateful for all my brothers and sisters who are here, for those joining us online, and for those who will be listening to this via recording. Father, we're grateful for all your blessings. We thank you that we get to celebrate 8 years of your faithfulness toward Cross Point Christian Church. We're grateful for all the lives that you've changed, that you've reached, that you've built up. And we trust that we're grateful for those lives who you will in the future continue to bring and save and build up through CrossPoint's efforts. At this time, we pray for your blessing. We ask for your help. We pray that you would help us even now to not be distracted as we enter into a time of fellowship in your word. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. We know your power, and so we trust in your goodness to lead us, to teach us in a way that will bring honor and glory to you, Father. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, beloved. So, you know, all of you should also have a worksheet, right? You guys all got a worksheet because you figure, you know, pastor's working hard on this worksheet. I'm going to at least grab one and take it home. We also provided some pens for you to write in case you didn't bring one. The whole idea is we want to give you the best opportunity to come on a Sunday morning and experience God through worship, through the hearing of the word, and also as you actively engage and paying attention and learning. So this morning, as we talk about Martha and how she was worried and busy and distracted, we want to understand that in a very similar way, we are Martha. And we want to be more like Mary. But we're going to address the problem that Martha had mainly. All right? Okay. We're finishing chapter 10. I would maybe on your notes, if you're taking notes, you want to look at John chapter 11. There you'll see an extended interaction between Jesus and Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus, who actually died. This is the Lazarus that passed away after being sick. And then the Lord came 4 days later. And when he was already 4 days in the tomb, the Lord raised him out of that tomb. This is that same family. And so if you read John 11 and then John 12, you'll get a really good sense of who these people were, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And I think you'll be blessed by that. So, what we're also going to do is take a look and say that not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet results in us. So the sermon is really going to be, the message is going to be, what happens when we choose to be like Martha? What happens when we choose not to sit at Jesus' feet? What happens when we choose to get so distracted and so bogged down with other things other than sitting at his feet to listen to his voice? What happens? And that's what the lesson today is going to be. I hope you're blessed by it. I hope it causes you to reflect. In the worksheet that you have, there's also some follow-up questions that are meant for you to reflect on these points and really kind of take a deep look inside and just kind of self-evaluate it and hopefully make some changes that will result in a transformed life by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be intentional about that. So here it is. We read the portion, gave you a little bit of background, and we're going to focus on Martha and her bad choice to not be like her sister Mary and sit at Jesus' feet in order to hear his voice. So, not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet results in us, point number one, let's get right to it. Point number one, becoming distracted in life. So, if you choose not to sit at Jesus' feet when he's speaking, what's going to happen as a result in your life is you're going to find yourself distracted. And that's exactly what it says here. In Luke 10, 39, and the beginning of verse 40, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his voice, but Martha was distracted with much serving." Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, obviously, we're not saying that we shouldn't serve in order that we would be at Jesus' feet all the time. Somebody has to serve. And I'll say this now, if you read chapter 12 of John, you see something really amazing. Chapter 11 in John, you have the story where Jesus raises Lazarus, and then in chapter 12, it starts with Jesus being there, they're having lunch, and it says that Martha is serving, but without the attitude, without the distraction. So serving and sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his voice are not mutually exclusive. In fact, if you're going to serve anywhere, it doesn't matter what you're going to serve at, unless you sit at Jesus' feet first, your service is not going to be successful. You'll be able to do stuff. You know, you can stack chairs without having sat at the, you know, at the service, but you got to watch your attitude. And if you're really serving the Lord, it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require commitment. It's going to require for you to fight against doing other things that you enjoy doing. And unless you've sat at Jesus' feet first, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to be able to maintain that service of the Lord. Your service and mine needs to flow out of having spent time intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing his voice and learning from him. Then you're going to find the joy of serving. Because Martha was serving, but she had a bad attitude. Chapter 12 of John, you see her serving without the bad attitude. And that's what we want to get at. We want to be servants of the Lord that enjoy serving, that enjoy doing, that enjoy laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters, because we know what Christ has done for us and through his empowerment. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you do. Are you going to be grumpy? You're going to be comparing yourself with others. You're going to be talking about others that don't do what you do. They don't do it as well as you do it. It's going to be a mess. We want everybody here at Crosspoint to serve in one capacity or other. And I'm so grateful for everybody here that serves in one way or another. And I have to tell you, I think I mentioned this every time. We were here this morning setting up outside tables, pulling out chairs, grills. There's like 8 grills out there. People had to bring them. And I would invite you to come there and just look, just observe, don't do anything, and see people's positive, grateful, humble attitudes to serve. It's amazing. I'm grateful. One of the ways that I know Crosspoint is on the right path is seeing people wanting to be engaged in serving, selfless kind of serving for the benefit of others. And I see that, and I'm grateful, truly grateful for that. So becoming, not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet results in us becoming distracted in life. And I don't know about you, I'll tell you right now, the question for meditation for later is, would you say that you're distracted or you're sitting at Christ's feet? And then elaborate. If you were to take a snapshot of your life, would you say that you are sitting at Christ's feet consistently or are you distracted with life? And you might say, well, Pastor Mike, easy for you to say, you're a full-time pastor. And yeah, but if you knew me before I was a full-time pastor, when I ran a business and I was a school teacher and I had my family and I was highly involved in church, you wouldn't see less of an effort from me serving at church. I only say that because I don't want us to have the attitude of like, well, yeah, look, you have an easy job. Of course, if I had your job, if I had your this, if I had your that, then I would do this. And I'll tell you again, God is not interested in what you don't have. It's what you already have that God wants to use. It's the gifts that he's gifted you with that he wants to use. Never mind the person next to you. All right? Really think about that. And for me, it's a challenge. We have to be intentional about not becoming distracted in order that we will sit at Christ's feet. I want to end the message later with some positive, practical ways that you can put into practice in order for us to sit at Christ's feet consistently. So, not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet results in me becoming distracted in life. In Colossians 3, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, "If then, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth." We are directly instructed that if we've been raised with Christ, if you've been born again, you're now a new creature in Christ. Now it is our job to set our mind on the spiritual things, on the eternal things. Are there important physical things that we must take care of? Absolutely. Of course. But you have to be careful because your fallen, sinful nature is always ready to betray you. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you work hard. God knows that. He'll honor that. You're a good person. And boy, he just cracks open the door with things like that. You're right. I am a hard worker. Yeah, I do already coach my kids' team at whatever. And I do all these other things. And those are great. Do them. But not at the expense at sitting at Christ's feet. And we all have those struggles. We have to be careful with that. If we've been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. See the intentionality? Set your mind on the things above. And beloved, don't kid yourself thinking, "Oh, this world's got no grip on me." Really? No, I got it. I know my boundaries. Gotta be careful and have some accountability with that. Scary. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Get rid of the stuff that hinders you and the sin which so easily ensnares you. Get rid of those things and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do not become distracted. It is so easy to become distracted. And before you know, you go from distracted, you go from no longer being on fire for the Lord to being slightly distracted to being totally distracted to now backsliding. And then before you know it, you don't even think about God. He plays no role in your life. Just be careful, because if you still want to use that Christian title on yourself, what is there to prove it? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. We want to be intentional about seeking the Lord. And as you do that, he will reveal himself in you. And his spirit will minister to your spirit and confirm the fact that you are a child of God. And as a result of that, you're going to see yourself seeking, wanting, enjoying being at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. It's all about hearing God's word, beloved. You need to be exposed to God's word. But not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet will result in us becoming distracted. Be careful of distractions. Point number two, not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet like Martha will result in us dictating to God. Dictating to God. What do we mean by that? Luke 10, verse 40, the second portion of that, it says, and she approached him, Jesus, and said to him, Lord, don't you care? She says, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I remember as a kid, I was the youngest of four. And every once in a while, I would go to my dad and say, hey, Dad, tell so-and-so to do this. And my dad would look at me. He would say, excuse me? No, in Spanish. He'll say, wait a minute, you don't get to tell me what to do. You could say, Dad, I have this problem. Can you help me out right here? Not, hey, Dad, tell him. Or as a teacher, I would have students come over and say, like, hey, mister. They love calling you mister. Hey, mister, tell so-and-so to. I'm like, okay. No, like, you don't get to tell me what to tell others. You're my student. I'm not your servant. Or my kids, same thing. Don't tell me what to do. And here, Martha, who, she understood. Martha is a very interesting person. She opens up her house to the Lord. This is not just anybody from the street. She has some kind of understanding about Jesus. She has actually a very good understanding about who Jesus is. And she welcomes him into her house. And yet, somehow, having the Lord so close and yet so far away from her. Beloved, we could be sitting at church. We could be sitting at church every week. We could be sitting at church every week and going to growth group every week and sitting there. And yet be far from the Lord. And yet having our heart be foreign to his teachings and his ways and his example. We have to be careful with that. That's going to be a constant struggle and something that we'll have to be aware of for the rest of our lives. We don't want to have him physically near. You know, I went to church this morning. Great. What did you learn? What did you experience? Nah, you know, it was kind of packed and I didn't get a good seat. And I don't know, I did this weird thing about the pastor. And, you know, and the carne asada wasn't even that great. Now that's blasphemous right there. It's going to be really great. Beware. Beware of our attitude. We can be so close and yet so far away as Martha had the Lord. She welcomed him into her home, and yet she was troubled. She got busy, and she found herself upset and angry, comparing herself to her sister, that even going to the Lord and saying, Lord, don't you care? Well, have you ever felt that? I say felt that because most likely most of us have been there. Maybe not all of us have said it, but have you felt that? Lord, Don't you care? Don't you see what's going on? And then that prompts her to say, tell her. And I don't know how she said it, but I get the picture that she was a little bossy, Martha was. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to do all the work? Tell her to help me. I command you to tell my sister to help me. Do you ever feel like that? Lord, tell the people at church to get their act together. Why can't they be as good as me? You got to be careful with all that. But I want you to understand that all of that is coming out as a result of her not choosing to sit at Christ's feet. And you might feel like, well, somebody had to serve. Yeah, everybody should serve. Maybe not everybody's going to serve all the time. But if you're going to serve, let it be as a result of you having sat at Jesus' feet. It'll make the world of difference. Some of us might be sitting here saying, like, I used to serve at church. I used to be really involved at church. Or I used to be all into God. And what happened? I can assure you it wasn't God's fault. He didn't let you down. He didn't, you know, mess up. He didn't go back on any of his promises. We did something wrong, understood something wrong. We can find ourselves dictating to God. Instead of saying, Lord, your will be done. Lord, why can't you fix this? Lord, when are you going to give me that? And how come I'm still waiting for this other thing? And I don't know what you say, but you got to search your heart lest you find yourself dictating to God. In 2 Corinthians 12:8, there's a couple of good examples. I'm going to use Paul and our Lord Jesus Christ as the opposite of Martha's reaction. Martha, by not sitting at Christ's feet and being fed, found herself dictating to God. Paul, who spent all his time at Jesus' feet, hearing his voice, studying the scriptures, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he's talking about this thorn in the flesh. And the reason why I wanted to use that is because Paul, the great Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote practically half of the New Testament, these letters, who had a very intimate, probably as intimate a relationship with Christ as you can have here on earth. It says that God gave him this thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but it's something that bothered him to the point where three times he would plead with the Lord. He would beg God that he would take this away because it bothered him so much. And God would tell him, my grace is sufficient. And then Paul says, if that's the case, then I'd rather boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, so that through my weakness, his grace may abound and shine. See the difference in attitude? Martha doesn't have things going her way, doesn't sit at Jesus' feet, starts dictating to Jesus what he should be telling her sister Mary. And here you have Paul, who sits at Christ's feet, who's going through this very difficult thorn in the flesh, pleads with the Lord, but says, ultimately what he's saying is, your will be done, even if I don't like it. And that's not going to hinder me from continuing to serve. You know, if Paul would have had more of a Martha attitude, he would have said, Lord, take this thorn from my flesh, or else I'll stop being a missionary. Lord, once you remove this thorn from the flesh, then I will resume my missionary work. You don't see any of that in Paul's life, because he sat at Jesus' feet. But when we don't sit at Jesus' feet, it will result in us dictating to God. Look at the opposite attitude also in Christ, our Lord, Luke 22:42. The Lord Jesus Christ, right before he's betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's suffering, for he knows what's going to happen. And he tells the Father that if there's any other way for this cup or this suffering that he's about to experience, if there's any other way that this redemptive work can be accomplished except in what he's about to do, Is there any other way? And then he says an amazing thing. He says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he had just spent all the time praying to the Father. We see the Lord's attitude in comparison to Martha's. Martha doesn't get her way. She gets anxious, is distracted, and starts dictating to the Lord. Paul says, I'd rather be sick and weak as long as Christ is exalted. And the Lord says, if there's any other way, but Father, not my will, but yours be done. Brother, sister, if you're going to serve the Lord, you need that attitude. And that attitude can only come from having spent time with the Lord, sitting at Jesus' feet. But again, Martha, not choosing to sit at Jesus' feet results in our third and last point. It results in finding yourself discontent in life. Discontent. You know, as a Christian, one of our best testimonies is the joy that God puts in our hearts despite our circumstances. You're going to have ups and downs and all arounds. And people are always going to be watching. And when people can see God's joy, the kind of peace, joy, love that surpasses all human understanding, when people see that, that's one of your best testimonies of God's reality for people to be able to see this transformed life. But when Christians are grumpy, when Christians are angry, when Christians are anxious and stressed and distracted, we lose a lot of our ability and credibility towards the outside world. If people look at us and say, like, I don't want to go to your church. You're always grumpy. Yeah, you're really happy at church, but when you get home, you're like this transformation. You turn into the Hulk. What's going on? You got to check yourself. Can't be one way here and a different way at home. You want that change to occur from the inside out. We have to be careful about that. And that change happens when we sit at Christ's feet. But if you don't, you will find yourself discontent in life. And to me, that's a tragedy, beloved. I believe as a Christian, you could be living a discontent life. And I'm sure it bothers God and it hurts his heart. It hurts our testimony as a church, when as a church we're like this bitter, angry church. I mean, imagine if people, you know, for the new people that came today, hopefully, I really hope that you find a loving, accepting church. Imperfect, for sure, but a loving church, a receptive church, somebody that cares about you because God loves us, God loves you, and we want to love on you. I hope you see that. If you don't, come see me in my office, like the video, and tell me how our congregation was not receptive and loving and caring towards you. Because we have to be. But it will happen when we sit at Jesus' feet and his teachings, lest we find ourselves discontent in life. So Luke 10:41 says, and Jesus answered and said to her, can you imagine? I mean, I try to picture when I'm reading this. There's the Lord with this joyous, peaceful look. And he's teaching, and he's got his disciples, and one of those disciples is Mary, Martha's sister, and she's there at his feet just listening and taking it all in. And then Martha comes around. And she probably didn't do this, but she would have gone like, hey, Lord, you see my sister? Don't you care that I'm over here all busy, and she's just sitting there doing nothing? Just sitting there listening to you? Tell her to help me. And the Lord turns to her and says, Martha, Martha, with endearment, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Would that be God speaking to you right now? Put your name in there, Mike, Mike. Would he be telling me, you're worried and troubled about many things? Is that you? Is that you? And I would say it's all of us. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Why? But you don't understand my circumstances. I don't know all your circumstances. But I know what the word says. Be anxious for nothing. You know what nothing means in the Greek and in Hebrew, Aramaic, and in Espanol? Nothing means zero, nothing. There isn't one thing that you should be anxious over. And how many things are we anxious about? How many things are we troubled about? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's not that God doesn't care. You know, Peter says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He's a good shepherd. That is his job and his privilege to watch over you, to protect you, to guide you, to feed you. But we don't let him. We don't let him. Matthew 6:33 is the last verse I'm going to share with you. We don't want to find ourselves discontent in life. And Matthew chapter 6, I would have loved to have read most of chapter 6. But the Lord is teaching, and he's saying, why are you worried about this? Why are you worried about food and drink? Why are you worried about clothes? What are you going to wear? Why are you worried about this, that, and the other? Like, what are you worried about? He's saying, my Father will take care of you. And in 6:33 in Matthew says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Do this first. Have this be your priority in life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, meaning first sit at Christ's feet and his teaching, listen to his voice. Do this first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. That's God's promise. Make me your priority in your life. Consider me the most important. Understand that if you take care of our relationship, I'll take care of you without a problem. Easy. What do you need? I'll take care of it. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will have no need. It's a beautiful thing. But you have to let go of that control. Martha. Did I just call you guys Martha? Are you guys Martha? There's a great book out there. The title is something like How to Be a Mary in a Martha world, kind of a thing. You know, how to have an attitude like Mary when we live in such a world like that of Martha's, where there's so many things to do, there's so many distractions. And the answer, I haven't read that book. I don't plan on reading the book. I just like the title. But the answer is right here. Sit at Jesus' feet. Make him the priority. Don't think that you have the answers already. Even if you think you have the answers, sit at Jesus' feet. I got to confess to you, the other day, a couple days ago, I have this tendency of writing like my to-do list, right? Every day, it's a new list, and I write my list down, and as I'm thinking about it in the morning, it's like, oh, yeah, I got to do that too. And I had a laugh because I ended up with like 23 things that I had to do that day. I'm thinking I literally laughed. I looked at my list, and I said, what are you talking about? And I laughed, and I don't do this all the time, but I put my pen down. After I laughed, I'm looking at my to-do list for the day, and I went to my room, got on my knees, and prayed. It probably helped that I went to a conference on Thursday, and they told us, you know, don't leave prayer as a last resort. That should be the first thing you do, and it's true. That helped me in very practical terms. It was just funny. I never laughed at my to-do list before. I had a laugh, and then I said, you know, let's go pray before we try to tackle all these things that we have for today. We have to be intentional. We have to be careful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up right here. Super practical terms. All right, Mike. I realize I don't sit at Jesus' feet as much as I should. So what do I do? Where do I start? I want to give you some really super practical things to do. What you want to do is you want to saturate your life with his word. That means don't have this compartment of, you know, the first 5 minutes of my day are for Jesus. He doesn't want the first five, the first 5 minutes of my day are for Jesus. If you do that, that's fine. That's great. I make it a point to not look at my phone for anything else before I read at least the verse of the day and most likely the chapter that it's found. Before I do anything else. But then it's not enough to just do that at the beginning and then, the other 23 hours, you do whatever. But what I'm saying is you have to saturate your day with God's word. In Psalms 1, it says, in his law he meditates day and night. And as a result, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that gives forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper. I mean, this idea of sitting at Christ's feet before everything else and letting God take care of everything else is from the Old all the way to the New Testament. Take care of your relationship with God first, and everything else falls into place. You might feel like it's falling apart, but like that song says, it just might be falling into place. It's not your life falling apart. Maybe it's just falling into place as it should be, the way God wants it to be. So saturate your life with his word. So this is the practical terms. Read your Bible. You can't go as a Christian without reading your Bible. Have a good Bible. Read it. Highlight it. Make notes. Learn the books of the Bible. Understand what the Bible is. Be a good student of the word. Be in prayer. I would highly suggest that if you still have a radio, or you have a phone, you can put the radio in your phone. Listen to KKLA 99.5 FM. That's not the only Christian station, but 95% of the pastors that teach there are really great pastors. Spend time. Instead of listening to worldly music, listen to some sermons. They're awesome. Read some books, some Christian books. What do you read? You might say, I don't read. Yeah, you do. When you're watching all those TikTok videos, you have to read all those captions. That's just a sentence. Yeah, but if you watch 100 videos in 3 minutes, you read 100. There's podcasts. Listen to podcasts. We live in this crazy technological world where if you have a smartphone, I think all of you do, you could listen to any of the great teachers that are out there living and that are already dead. Their sermons are all recorded, and you can pop those in anytime. And then share with someone. This is really important. Whatever God is speaking to you about, well, put it into practice, but also share with someone. Share with your mom. Share with your kids. Share with your siblings, your neighbors. Just tell them what, don't come off all weird, but just tell them, hey, you know what? Today I was listening to a podcast from one of my favorite pastors, and he was talking about this, and it really hit me. Don't come off what I learned today is that you are worse of a sinner than what I thought you were before, and you really need Jesus, and you have to come to church with me. They're not going to come. They won't want to come. So read your Bible, be in prayer, listen to Christian radio, read Christian books, listen to podcasts, and share with other people what you're learning. Very important. Put it into practice. If you can take that with you and start implementing some of those, it's going to transform your life because God's word is living and powerful. You have to believe that. The word of God is living and powerful, and it's able to save your soul. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death into life. That's John 5:24. Learn that. If we hear his voice, if we sit at his feet, we won't find ourselves becoming distracted. We won't find ourselves telling God what to do instead of asking for his will to be done. And we won't find ourselves discontent, but content, happy, fulfilled. You're not going to find yourself chasing after some other, grand thing that you think is going to fulfill your life or bring enjoyment. You will find fulfillment and joy and peace in our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what we want for everybody here at Crosspoint. May the Lord bless his word. I know our worship team is ready to come up again, and they're going to wrap things up today with a couple of songs. So if you guys want to come up here, that'd be great. I love hearing everybody singing. I know the Lord is pleased. We don't sing for Mike, obviously, but lift up your voice. Sing unto the Lord and praise him. I love our banners, the Lord of Lords. We're celebrating Jesus. Crown him King of Kings. It is him to whom we sing. It is him to whom we are grateful. And, of course, everybody's invited to stick around afterwards and join us for lunch. We're going to have it outdoors. Some people are out there being Marthas. I think we had the sermon on as they were grilling. If not, I'm going to make sure they listen to the recording so that they don't fall into that trap. But join us, stick around, get to know people. And then also as they're playing and as we're singing, we're going to have some couples up here that you can come up and they would love an opportunity to pray with you. All right, let me pray. Gracious Father, again, we're grateful. We're honored to be your family. We praise you for who you are, for what you've done, what you are doing in us and through us, individually as Crosspoint as well, celebrating our 8th year. And we look forward, Father, to your will being done here at Crosspoint. We pray that you will be pleased in saving many. Bring new people here, Father, that they would hear your good news of salvation, that in your love you sent your son Jesus to take our place at the cross. We are forever grateful for that. We pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. We thank you for our celebration and our lunch that's going to happen in just a little bit. We honor you. We want to lift up our voices in praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.